In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, and dear faithful, these words that I've taken for this sermon come from Psalm 137, and it's also the Alleluia verse of today's Mass. Now, today, being the Feast of St. Raphael, the Archangel, I was preparing for the sermon. I thought to myself, where do you begin in preaching about the angels for this feast day? And I thought to myself, well, what do angels do? Well, that's the very question, isn't it? What do angels do? I one time, not too long ago, just very recently, got kind of a rude explanation of what angels apparently do by a wedding planner who told me that angels play harps. Well, be that as it may, I don't know if they do or not, but I do know many things that they actually do. First and foremost, angels worship before the throne of God. They are in heaven and they adore our Lord for all eternity. Secondly, they're messengers from God. We can see this so often, that God commissions these angels to bring his own words and his own greetings and messages to people on earth. Saint Gabriel is, of course, the most known for this. We especially see that at the incarnation the incarnation of our Lord, given to Our Lady by Saint Gabriel in that time. Angels protect us; they are our protectors. We all have a guardian angel. And, of course, we all know that Saint Michael is there waiting to assist us against any wiles of the devil that whenever we need him. The angels intercede for us in heaven. They pray for us and they offer our own prayers to God to help us in order that we may save our souls. They're healers. In fact, Saint Raphael is especially a healing angel. His name means God heals, and we see in the very gospel that mission carried out by Saint Gabriel. He moves the waters, he stirs the waters there in the sheep gate pool. And the first one into the pool was healed from whatever infirmities they had in their lives. And so we see that the angels are healers. But there's one thing in particular that angels do which is so important for us, that is probably, from our own point of view, the most important thing that they do for us. They work to help us to save our souls. This is done by constantly bringing us closer to God and helping us to love and serve Him more perfectly every day. For most of us, it happens through an unseen intercession or an inspiration that we don't necessarily know where it came from, but we're moved to do something more in our service of God. But occasionally, this inspiration is manifested in a way that is more pronounced, in a way that everybody is able to recognize as an intercession of the angels. One perfect example of this is when the angel appears to the children of Fatima. The children of Fatima were visited three times by an angel of God, and that angel acted as a precursor, in a way, to the coming of Our Lady. That angel came to them in the year of 1916, 1 year before Our Lady appeared to the children. He came three times. The first time, the children were praying the rosary out in the fields. Yet they were praying it in a way that was that well-known abbreviated way that we all remember from those children of Fatima first off. They were praying just, you know, Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, and so on, instead of actually fulfilling all of the prayers. And the angel came to them and taught them the importance of their prayers. They taught them that this is a way for them to grow closer to God, that praying is lifting up of the heart, mind, and soul to God. And in doing so, we love Him more. We serve Him better. And so the children took it to heart. They put it to practice, and they began to pray daily. A little later on, another time, the angel appeared to the children of Fatima. And in addition to his asking for prayers, he instructed the children that they should offer sacrifices and penances. And the children asked about this, and the angel explained what sacrifices and penances were and what was the best way to go about doing so for God. And in bringing them that information and teaching them how to sacrifice, he has brought them one step closer in that love and service. Because now, where they had been lifting up their hearts, minds, and souls to God, now with their sacrifices, they unite their bodies to that action of honoring and loving and serving God. And so the children prayed and sacrificed. The third time the angel came and appeared to the children, he brought with him a chalice that he was holding in his hands, and over it was holding the sacred host. And from that host dripped the most precious blood into the chalice. And then the angel left that chalice there, suspended in the air, and joined the children, kneeling before it, and worshiping God in the Blessed Sacrament, and then proceeded to give this mystical communion to those three children. And thus doing so, he showed them the most perfect way that we can honor, love, and serve God in this life. To come and be with Him, to adore Him here present in the Blessed Sacrament. That was the angel bringing them to that third step. And when we think about it, to come and adore the Blessed Sacrament is really the closest we can get to heaven in this life, to spend time with our Lord. In fact, it is what makes us most like the angels, because they adore our Lord in heaven. And yet, it's that same God that we can come and fall on our knees before Him here in church, there in the Blessed Sacrament. Yet so often, we let other things in our life get in the way. Father McGuire talked about last night when he was preaching the very fact that there's so many things in our lives that we make time for. And yet so often we don't set aside that time. We neglect to come and get a visit with our Lord. We do not put aside that most precious time to unite ourselves with heaven in our lives. But if we truly knew just how great a gift the Blessed Sacrament is, we would let nothing stop us from coming to see Him. I'll give you an example. During World War II, as we all know, the Nazis set up various concentration camps. And one of the most infamous concentration camps was in Dachau. And there was a major movement played out in that concentration camp, a movement by the Nazi regime to de-Christianize all of Europe. And by doing so, they started to round up many of the clergy throughout the countries that they occupied. They took these clergy and imprisoned them in the concentration camp because they didn't want them to have any influence over the people. They didn't want them to have people's minds raised up to anything higher than the Führer. And Christians, as we know, obviously raise our minds up to the highest power, which is God. Well, Hitler, like so many power-hungry people before him, wanted to supplant God with himself. And so he had to get rid of the priests. And so they were rounded up, and thousands were put into prison, into these concentration camps. And they were put together in Dachau. It was almost like it was the Catholic concentration camp. And they were subject to so many humiliations and so much persecution in their time there. They labored so heavily under as human slaves and as human animals to their occupiers. They were persecuted in so many various forms. One story I read talked about how they would wrap the priests' heads in barbed wire and then have, like it was a crown of thorns, and then have the Jews of the camp spit upon them while they walked by. They were subject to various other tortures and experimentations that were laid on them, and around half of them died before they could be released from Dachau. Yet, initially, when they came together, they were allowed to say Mass. But over time, all of these things were taken away from them until the point that it was completely forbidden to have any form of public worship in the camp, especially Mass. And the punishment for this was immediate execution. Well, these priests were very holy men, and they did not let this stop them. They refused to. Some of these priests were commissioned to act as human horses, to draw carriages to and from different points of work. So they would load up these carriages with rocks or whatever material that they were using, and then the men would have to carry to lead that carriage and drag it along the streets. Well, they came up with an ingenious idea to be able to allow them to say Mass. On this country road, as they were coming back and forth from the camp, they would cross past a little local church. And in that church, the priest still lived there. And so they would arrange it so that the wheel would fall off the wagon right there in front of the church. And then they'd have to stop and take the time to fix the wagon. And in doing so, they would whisper a little sentence to the priest in Latin, telling them that they were priests themselves and they wanted the necessary objects to offer Mass. And the priest at the church would then sneak them small hosts and a bit of wine that they could bring back on their way to the camp. Then they would wait for the night, for all the lights to go out and for the guards to retire for the evening after their final checks. And then under the cover of darkness, by the light of smuggled in candles, they would offer Mass. They would go to the crematories and pull out small pieces of bones of other priests who had been murdered for the very fact that they were priests, martyrs for the faith. And these acted as their altar stone. And there, in the middle of the night, they would offer Mass quietly in their camp. And they would break up the few hosts they had into as small of pieces as they could in order to give a communion to as many of these priests as possible. But remember, at the time of this happening, when the priest wrote about this, there were over 1,200 priests in the camp. They couldn't give communion to everybody. Yet they would all come and be there, and they would remember the names of when on what day they received communion, and try to get everybody communion once a month in the camp. The rest of the priests, they risked their lives just to be in the presence of our Lord. Even just for those short few minutes, was worth risking everything to see our Lord. This was truly an incredible example of faith and fidelity and service and love of God, most especially in that Blessed Sacrament. The lengths that they were willing to go to just to see our Lord. And it has to cause each and every one of us to stop and to think a little bit for ourselves. They risked everything for our Lord. And yet nobody is trying to kill us, to keep us from coming to the sacraments. So what holds us back at times? What keeps us from giving our all? Are our errands in the day so important that we can't stop in as we go by? Is the drive that we have really too far to keep us from coming more than we already do? Is that little bit of extra sleep really more important than a Mass? Are we really too busy to be here? We have to think hard about all of these questions. Is Father just preaching this really not understanding our own circumstances? Or perhaps, is this one of those times where our own angel is trying to inspire us to go a little further in our love for God? May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.